it is Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Welcome to La Liga Weekly, where we don't talk about La Liga that much, because it's not on, to be fair. They finally finished the Spanish season. Malaga went up, if you missed that instalment. So we're doing the World Cup, and then we're rounding up a few transfer stories. A signing that Real Madrid haven't made, but is going to give them quite a lot of money. A signing that Racing Santander have made, that takes us back to retro weekend, and then a bit of speculation. But we're going to do the World Cup. Terry has relocated, huge expense. He's relocated to his Florida base. And what you've done, Terry, is moved to exactly the same temperatures as when you left Southern England.
Exactly. I was going to come on with the premise of, yeah, I'm out here working, covering the World Cup, but I'm not, purely on holiday.
Are you going to claim it back on your tax? That's the crucial thing, because you are podcasting from the home of the World Cup. So
I thought of that.
Yeah.
But I know some people are masquerading as journalists out in America, just pretending they're covering the World Cup and doing random little broadcasts from a street corner somewhere and pretending they're in the thick of the action.
Yes.
But it's been interesting watching the World Cup out here. I'm not having to stay up till ridiculous hours in the middle of the night, morning to get up and watch games. It's been interesting seeing it. Interesting to see the coverage as well, to see.
So is it big? Is it everywhere?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And do you know what? I have a theory about this, about the Americans. They don't often get an opportunity. They're big sports. They're world champions, aren't they? If they win the basketball, they're world champions. If they win the NFL, they're world champions. But they don't often get the opportunity to all get behind as a country in a massive competition like this. I can't think of any other sport. The Olympics with a basketball. The Ryder Cup is one, and they probably over egg it, don't they, and get carried away. And so this, the USA being one of the hosts for the World Cup and having a good team, it's brought everybody's talking about, I still hate it, soccer.
And I don't mind. Call it soccer. I don't mind. Honestly, if you've grown up in a country where football is referred to, that other sport is referred to, I don't mind. American fans of the round ball game are almost apologetic, and I don't apologize. Yeah. Call it soccer if you want to. Irish people call it soccer. Australians call it soccer. Yeah. Well, a lot of them do, and because you've got Gaelic football, and so in order to not,
complicate it.
It's fine. It's absolutely fine. Don't apologize. Is my view.
I think there's been interest. It's really people that don't have any interest in soccer in America suddenly have an interest because they want to support their country. And it's really got a grip here as well. I'm going travelling up to New York towards the end of my holidays. My daughter and her family are living there now. So they're meeting us in Florida, and then we're getting together here, and then we're heading, stopping there on the way home for a few days. So it'd be interesting to see in New York what it's like there, because the final's in that area. It's clear people who've got no interest in soccer suddenly have an interest because it's the World Cup. It's in their country. And the country got a pretty good team, and it gives them an opportunity to get behind the country, like we do in England, like every other nation does.
Everywhere else.
But here, the NFL is, if you win the NFL, you're world champions. But that's not the same as if you support the New England Patriots or the Green Bay Packers. That's not the same as supporting the United States of America. So it's been catching hold here for a while, football, soccer, but it's now. This is really brought to the fore, so it can only be good for the country. And I was interested to see the hydration breaks. There are adverts, I can confirm.
There are
three or four adverts. I did see that Fox, $300,000 an advert, and they do. Someone did the maths on how many games there are, how many adverts there are. It's three or four adverts per hydration break, and it was going to approach $300 million just on advertising revenue.
So
from
the whole notion,
the hydration breaks.
Why don't they walk over to the other side of the pitch and grab a bottle of water and get back on? That's your answer.
It's $300 million.
Yes.
For a made-up break in whatever the weather is.
Yes.
And we had one the other day, didn't we?
A climate control stadium. Yeah, pouring rain. Yeah.
We had one, didn't we? But it was an injury about a minute or two before.
Oh, it was England game.
England.
Yeah.
Players, and then
in England, an injury on 20 minutes. And obviously, Fox weren't ready with their ad break. So, no, we're going to stand and watch a bloke get treatment, get back off, has to leave the pitch quickly or whatever he has to do. And then we'll have a hydration break. Yeah.
So it's been interesting to see that. It's pretty much Zlatan and Thierry Henry on everything.
Right,
so they're not like we've got in the UK where there's a roster of people that you never know who's going to be on. They're pretty much, they're earning their money. They're earning their dollars.
Yeah.
They're
and what's Zlatan like? Was Zlatan like as a pundit?
I like him. Yeah. I mean, it's Zlatan and Thierry Henry. It gives you, they look smart. Everyone's dressed in a suit and a shirt and a tie. It's a real retro vibe to it. It's not. I don't want to see Roy King's legs any more, to be honest. But here, it's suited and booted, and it's those two. So they do go into detail. And do you have a theory about this World Cup? I've been a player, been a coach, done my pro license, been a pundit and a co-com, all that stuff. I'm bored of tactics in this World Cup, and I kind of think, what do people want to see? And I've spoke to a few people, and there is an element of analysts and data and that type of person that watches football that wants to understand it in greater detail. But most people just want to see the good and the bad, the highlights, the good bits, the bad bits. And then people I speak to say, well, when you're down the pub watching it, no one's listening or watching at halftime anyway. And the pubs are like 1,000 people watching football, but everyone switches off at halftime. So I kind of feel that why are we over-egging? I'm bored of it when I watch the halftime highlights, and it might be something like 3-2, and minimum amount is given to the actual goals. It's the breakdown of each and how a team's playing, and even the hydration breaks when we're banging on. We have the first 20 odd minutes, and then we have people doing technical analysis. Trust me, as a manager, there's very little you can solve or find in that first 20 minutes. When you have a hydration break after 20 minutes, it must be quite difficult for a manager to actually come up with stuff that's worthwhile after 20 minutes of football.
So there's nothing like that you instantly look at it and think, oh, no, hang on, we've got this wrong. We've set up this up.
That can take 5 minutes. I think you look at the initial setup and go, oh, this surprise, they're playing three at the back. That might be the first thing you look at. There might be occasions where, as a coach, you're looking and thinking, oh, I've got to change this 20 minutes in. But in general, most matches are still breaking down after 20 minutes. It's difficult to pick out something, highlight it. And trust me, I've done it. You can, when I was working on Media Pro, you had to do a halftime analysis and the game's 0-0 and there's a shot on goal and you're searching for stuff. You can always find the clip to try and justify something. And basically, you're making it up to fill airtime because football is a chaotic sport. Players can be here, there and everywhere. You never know where the ball is going to be. You can look at team shapes. But to try and keep it enjoyable as well without people switching off, and I'm switching off, I'm seeing arrows and diagrams and stuff like that. And after 20 minutes, and I'm thinking, it's nil-nil, nothing's happened yet. It's the
important.
First 20 minutes is a tussle, it's a battle. It's, you know, it's they're playing at the back, they're playing this at the back, they're playing, you know, this set up in midfield, this player might be playing in a slightly surprising position. But it's do we need that 22, 23-minute break to then have someone try and explain in detail what's happening when the game is generally settling down? And if it was, say, 2-0 after 20 minutes, but I think Spain raced into a 3-goal lead before the first in one of the games.
Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, before the end. But then you've just got, if you want to do some analysis, just show the goals.
Yeah.
You know, so people want to see that. They might miss them. They don't want someone standing there telling them that, you know, about the high press and the low block and intensity and all this nonsense that after 20 odd minutes. So I think that's one of, but in general, I'm looking at games now and I'm not switching the television off, but I'm mentally switching off with a lot of the technical. Tactical analysis with the diagrams here and there and everywhere. I just want to, you know, focus on the enjoyable part. You know, if there's been goals, show us them. If there's been an open goal missed, show us it. Let's expose the lunatic that's missed from 6 yards. But we don't need a long drawn out.
Yeah, I take your point. You can be a bit over earnest and worthy with the tactics, can't you? I mean, I am sort of interested in it, and when I'm watching football, I do like to have a look at and think, why is that happening? Why is that happening? Which is better than me sitting on my phone, which is the other thing I do. So if I put the phone down and I watch it properly, I'm thinking, like, for example, England kept isolating Nonny Madueke and then switching the ball over to him, and then he was one-on-one with the fullback. Didn't get around
Didn't
him.
touch about no,
So,
exactly.
but I saw
But
that
you
is.
recognise that. Most people watching, I don't. Sometimes we appear condescending as people when you're trying to explain the details. It's like you're explaining it to someone who's never watched a game of football.
But honestly, the
But we all
range
have.
of stuff. No, but we haven't. Honestly, the range of people. Well, because I watch kids' football with people sometimes. Honestly, sometimes just needs to. Why doesn't he just kick it up there? He's trying. The other team keeps stopping him. That's what's happening.
So actually with Thierry Henry and Zlatan, there isn't as much the diagrams and the boards are not coming out and the big screens, it's mainly focused on what's happened and what could happen and with enthusiasm. So I've enjoyed
No,
watching
I
them.
take your point. The other way of doing your analysis, this is sort of production conversation, isn't it? Is just show us the big interesting things. And if anything, sometimes something funny's happened or controversial. I mean, not too much like moaning about like the old. They're not as bad at this, but TNT used to moan about the refs honestly, every half time they come back from the break. Yeah, the ref did it, the ref did that. Oh.
I think maybe it's because I don't mind if it's a weekly game, but when we've had relentless football as we have all enjoyed, to every game to be like breaking down into like a science after 20 minutes and that 20 minutes, and particularly with the four quarters when there's time to fill, it's difficult. Half time, great, end of the game. They're great. I'm
One
not
thing to
watching an hour of analysis at the end of games. I'm switching over to the next game, which is ideal.
I largely agree with you, but one thing it's worth bearing in mind is that players now get this. So this is players' lives, isn't it? And so when if people within our industry say, I can't be bothered with this tactical stuff, you think, okay, but the players have to be. And when they are being sent out onto the pitch, they are getting this stuff. They're not the days of, oh, just go and see what you can do. Or Bill Shankly, Kevin Keegan, name dropping it. Kevin Keegan once told me that Bill Shankly told him, just go and
Love
drop
Kevin
bombs.
Keegan.
Yeah, go and drop bombs, he said. I think nowadays, there's no way Marcelo Bielsa is sending a player out, just go and drop bombs.
Look how that works. Yeah, that's
Yeah.
how that works with Bielsa. So there is still an element, though. I'd like to think I've worked recently enough in football to know that the players haven't changed that much. You can bore them. You can
Yeah.
over egg it. You can do too much. You
Yeah,
can.
because when you see, so there
Basically, the
was.
best teams that win stuff, John, are the ones that spend the most money on the best players. And then you're not. I mean, Pep is. You could imagine Pep being driving people mad. But there are. Ancelotti wouldn't bore his team to death with team talks and tactical and technical analysis, and it's worked for him. I'm not saying he doesn't do any. Of course, he does. But there is still an element of
Aware
how
of
much explanations you give to Kylian Mbappe,
what we now
Dembele,
call
to
cognitive load, as we call it now.
Lamine
Yes, it's
Yamal.
how much can you fit in that brain of yours?
Without spoiling the performance of the player. That's the brakes get put on if you overfill some players. And the best players are those with the talent that can do things that other players can't. That's what I want to watch and enjoy. It's what I've always enjoyed in a World Cup. And I've been around a long time, and I've said on the podcast before, 1970 was the one I remember. And it was Brazil. And no one was telling me, oh, they're playing four at the back and this and the diamond and they're playing the Christmas tree system. It was just, look at how good these players are. So there is an element that the team that will win this World Cup that will be a really good team with some brilliant players. And it won't be England.
We just got used to that from this. I was thinking of the connection between like Buddhists have years in meditation to try and get used to the idea of suffering and not worrying about suffering. I think you could just be a Middlesbrough supporter and
Spurs.
and get used to the idea. Yeah. You're going to suffer. So don't worry too much.
It would have been Man City, wouldn't it? Man City were like that.
Yeah.
And then out of the blue, that changed. So it's, yeah, when I was flipping there about England not winning it. I think the climate doesn't help. And the over-exaggeration.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
First performance against the Croatian team, who are not very good. They're not the Croatia that, and that's not unusual to hear that Croatia had a good generation of players and now they haven't. But there are better teams in England in the World Cup. You can be fortunate. We're in a group of teams that possibly could win it with the right luck and the right run to the final.
So
really good teams in it.
Right, let's lay this down now. Because I've got this theory. I've expanded this before on this podcast that basically you've got like a set of teams who are capable of winning the World Cup. Mm-hmm. And at the end of it, one of them will win it and then we will go back and say that they were the best team and we'll reverse engineer onto them
exactly.
The legend.
Yeah.
So as of 27th of June, who are the best team? I think France, to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean they're going to win it, but what we've seen so far, because Mbappe wasn't necessarily at his sparkling best, but never mind, because Dembele, as you say, keep it simple. Right, Usman, see if you just coming off that right flank, see if you can get a shot away.
Yeah. See how many times you can get away with that? 3.5 times. Maybe. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, France look prime position, I think. But it's not a guarantee they're going to win it. And also, we've got to remember their recent history. Is it winners, runners-up on penalties, and now coming all guns blazing in another tournament? With a manager who knows the route to the final. I've never been a massive fan of Deschamps, but if they do win it again, then that's mic drop at the moment, isn't it? Not bothered with anything else if you win two World Cups as a manager. Yeah. They've got every chance. Not just the players up front, midfield, defence.
Yeah.
They look in prime position at the moment.
Yeah.
And then, as you said, there's a group of teams. Who would they be at this moment in time that you think, I guess Spain come into that still?
Where are Spain? Where are Spain in this? So they, I think they're in, I've maybe even put them second in that, not on impressive performances so far. I'll have a look at the stats in a minute. Their stats will be underwhelming. But when I see them, they've been a bit, the Uruguay game wasn't a good game, was it? So again, you could raise some criticisms. We'll get into the detail in a minute.
Yeah.
I still think, one, they're getting better. Key players, Lamine Yamal and Nico Williams, recovering fitness. There was a bit where, midway through the second half, where Lamine Yamal got played in. Looked like me running a park run on a Saturday morning. Yeah. He looked a bit heavy-legged.
Yeah.
So you hope from their point of view, that because he hasn't really arrived. Lots of big players have arrived at the tournament. I still think that they've got loads left in them and that when they play big teams, they'll be capable of beating any big team.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of room for improvement. I think the two players you just mentioned, if they can get them fit, and a blow that Jeremy Pino is going to miss the rest of the tournament as well. They've got real problems. We haven't seen Victor Muñoz yet either. The big money signing at Liverpool, he's still getting back to fitness. So there are real problems with the attacking wide positions. I think is that there has to be, and surely there will be an improvement from Rodri in midfield. I don't think he's been at his best. He looks like a player also that's had a disruptive season in terms of injury. Doesn't look back to his best yet. I think the right back position, I don't think it's problematic, but it's an issue for De La Fuente and Llorente, Porro, back to Llorente. And I don't think Llorente plays the same as he does for Atletico Madrid in that position. And it's irritating me, actually, that he's playing like that. He's dropping teammates in it with a pass now and then. That you think, why didn't you go forward with that ball? Why didn't you pass it forward? Why didn't you run forward? Why did you go backwards? Why did you go square? You really just passed the problem that you had onto a teammate. So I want to see him more assertive playing in that right back position. So therefore, that then brings up the partnership with Lamine Yamal. So the one player he hasn't tried a right back is Eric Garcia.
Mm.
who, when he plays for Barcelona right back, does have that understanding with Lamine Yamal. He's probably the third best right back out of the three of them. But what is more important, the getting the best out of Lamine Yamal, because he's got a right back who knows when to overlap, when not to overlap, when just to give the ball, when to stay back, because Lamine Yamal's not going to get back. So I'm wondering if that might be something that I'm not saying he will look, but that works at Barcelona. The right backs of Barcelona know what gets the best out of Lamine Yamal, because he's playing with Porro, because he's playing with Llorente. We're not getting the same impact from Lamine Yamal. And also the goalkeeper is still an issue. I mean, they got away with it. He got away with two terrible mistakes when he comes across his Unai Simon. He's clearly the third best goalkeeper in the group, and it could be costly.
Yeah,
I mean, they got away with two mistakes against Uruguay, where he dropped it, claimed he was fouled. He wasn't on either occasion. His distribution isn't as good as the other two. It's a plain, simple, it's an easy choice to make. I'm not saying it's an easy choice between Raya and Jean Garcia, but Unai Simon's clearly the third best goalkeeper in the group. So they are in that category with France, but they need to improve a lot.
What about, well, we're talking about subbing goalkeepers. So Spain won the game 1-0. Alex Baena's shot. He really didn't catch it particularly well, did he? He's the only player in the penalty area. Muslera, at the age of 40, I hadn't been following this, but apparently Bielsa persuaded him out of retirement and then hooks him off. So presumably that's the end of his international career. I mean, Spurs had it with Kimski, didn't they?
Kimski, yeah.
Where do you stand then with hooking off a goalkeeper? Is it the end of the world, or do you just think, well, if a winger has a stinker, they take him off?
I think that. There's no law where the goalkeeper has to stay on for the 90 unless he's injured. Also, there is a rumour, though, as well, that he has to come off at half-time. Right.
Okay.
He's kind of got the yips, as they call it, with golf and stuff like that, and the darts when they can't. He felt that he couldn't personally play the second half.
Yeah.
So we're never going to know for sure. They've gone out, they've gone home. The focus would be on Bielsa. The story is he took a goalkeeper off at half time.
Yeah. Hasn't he quit already, Bielsa? I better just double check that. Yeah. Let me just double check. Yes. I think he might have. Yeah.
I think he pretty much said along the lines that he was toxic.
Yeah.
he called himself toxic.
Yeah.
Called himself that before. It's not really promoting yourself, are you, for other jobs when you describe yourself as toxic?
he doesn't. He's an unusual, isn't he? He has resigned. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, strange one. You had Fede Valverde getting taken off so early. He's your captain. He's your leader. He's your best player. You're playing him out of position. I've seen him playing right wing in a three. I've seen him playing right wing in a midfield four. Last night I wasn't entirely sure where he was playing, and then to take him off after around an hour because they wanted to go two up front and he couldn't see where he could fit Valverde in a midfield four. Well, yeah, centre midfield. Or if you really want to be attacking, play him on the right of a midfield four. But you keep Fede Valverde in, but he didn't. So they were shambolic, Uruguay, from the first game to the last.
Yeah. I mean, they've underperformed. That said, it's a country of 3 million people. There is no obligation on either Croatia or Uruguay to be big hitters at a World Cup. And the other thing to think about, when Uruguay had Luis Suarez and Cavani up front when they were punching above their weight.
Yeah.
Luis Suarez into almost any team. Yeah. They're more of a threat, aren't they, than old Darwin.
See, how much tactical insight can you give Luis Suarez?
No, it was
he's such an instinctive centre forward, isn't he?
Yeah.
He has his flaws with his temperament, but he's all about endeavour and enthusiasm and world class talent and a meme machine in front of goal.
But also with him,
tactical analysis you fill him with.
He gave you loads out of possession though, didn't he? So he's not.
Yeah,
he's not.
He didn't have to be told that.
Yeah. So if he thought, if it was on him to go and chase somebody down, he would chase somebody down.
Exactly.
In a way, what you're getting from the rest, I guess, right, the answer to your question is, we can focus on intelligent players who will make their own decisions, or we can focus on players who have probably got some physicality who we bombard with tactical information.
Yeah.
And I think that second category is what has been, certainly in English youth football, that's been what they've gone for.
Yeah.
The coaching fraternity believe that they can program these kids. And all we need is the
totally.
Most agile, physical, fastest kids around, and we'll turn them into players.
Exactly.
And then you get this thing where people say, oh, no one's got any intelligence, no one's got any leadership.
And that's why I always compare it all to Barcelona's youth system.
Hmm.
You can tell Barcelona young players. You can, when they get into the first team, you think, why are no one else coaching players this style of football? So it's not a fluke.
Hmm.
And you go back to Iniesta, you go back to Xavi, and I'm sure you can go back further than that. But there is a style of play that Barcelona have had for donkey's years now. That maybe some of those players wouldn't have been successful at other clubs in terms of getting into the team. I mean, Pedri is not an example because he was bought, but he was bought really young. Gavi is another example. Kubasi is another example. All these young players, there are others that are ready to come through at Barcelona, and they all look different to other youngsters from other teams. And I agree with you, there is a uniform. It's like a uniform, isn't it, of a midfield player. This is what you have to be. This is what you have to do. There's your stats. There's your data. You do this, you'll be a good player. You'll be a rich player. You'll be a rich man. Follow this, do this, do that. You know, you'll be wealthy. You'll be set for life. But we don't have that individual talent. And even in this World Cup, I would suggest that a lot of games, it's sad to see some of the older players that we've always associated with that style of play are veterans now. And I do have a worry that maybe if it's, you know, is there a lack of that talent? Kevin De Bruyne, for instance, was still running around and still scoring goals last night and should have scored more, but was still an unbelievable talent still. But, yeah, clearly can't play 90 minutes in the World Cup in this heat. But who's going to take over from then?
If you're looking for favourite players, Ryan Cherki, I think.
Yeah.
Who a player who will do something? We're talking about France and their strength in depth.
Yeah.
He's different because the others.
Yeah.
I mean, they can fly those French attackers, can't they?
Yeah.
You know, they take Mbappe off, and that Barkala comes and you think, is he faster?
I've enjoyed watching Morocco because they have an element of street footballers. Abde, I know he's been missing the tournament, which is a real shame.
Yeah.
So he brought a lot. They're weaker for not having Abde.
Yeah,
but there's four or five Abdes in Morocco's team. I enjoy watching him play for Betis. He does things that drive you mad. You think, why didn't you pass that? Why didn't you get your head up? Next thing you know, he's a 60-yard run. He's beat four players and slides it across the 6-yard box for a tap in for Ruben Castro. Joking, of course. I'm not suggesting at one moment he's going back to Betis for a tap in for, you know, one of the strikers at Betis, Cucho Hernandez. So I still enjoy that element of football that I feel is at times getting strangled by this methodical coaching that is at the kids from the age of 7, 8, right the way through.
I'm
enjoying it still.
We've done Spain.
We've got France. Spain should be in that category. Who else is in that category? Argentina.
Yeah.
I've said I thought they were kind of, perhaps the English coverage was, they've won it last time, Messi's too old. No one really sort of suggested they could win it. They could win it. They're very much at the forefront.
Yeah.
I think they're a really, really good team. They've got belief and they've got Messi. So they are genuine contenders.
What have you made of Brazil? Vinny, I thought Vinny was weirdly infuriating, given that he was the decisive player in the game against Scotland.
Yeah, he's another one that comes in that category of you try and help him to become a better player. There's an age where there's a cut-off point where you're never going to change them. He's probably approaching that now. So it'd be interesting to see how it works with Jose Mourinho next year at Real Madrid. Brazil come into the category. I don't look at it as a really, you know, fantastic Brazil team. But we haven't had that for a long time. But they have a manager who knows what he's doing. They do have enough talent to be genuine contenders.
Hmm.
I wouldn't gamble on Brazil winning it, but it wouldn't be a massive surprise to me if they're hard to beat, they're athletic, if they've got a bit of magic up front.
in the category of teams with a fair wind and a good chunk of luck, which you'd put Netherlands in there.
Yes. Yep. They were my dark horses going into the tournament.
Yeah.
If they could find a striker,
they're
finding goals. So.
Yeah. And Mr. Brobbey has turned out to be.
Yeah. They're finding goals. They've got a good team. They're not in the category of they can win it, but they could. I'm looking at. I think we separate. There is a separation, isn't there? France, Spain, Argentina, possibly Brazil. It used to be Germany, but
where are Germany in this? They could win it.
Holland.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE, and I'm Jimmy Uso. Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting than playing Chumba Casino. Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam. So what are you waiting for? Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba. Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Wind?
I think so. I think England come into that category as well. I'm trying to think. Norway. No.
No. But, and it's hard to judge because they totally USA changed their team, didn't they? Yeah.
They believe in America. The USA are going to win it.
Yeah.
Politely saying, yeah, you could. Yeah,
I mean, to be fair, they're definitely in the category of a team that you wouldn't fancy facing.
Yeah.
USA, because they put you under a lot of pressure, don't they? They work really hard.
Yeah.
They don't have.
They're playing at home.
Yeah. They don't have sort of amazing individuals, but they're well organized. They work hard. They put you under a lot of pressure, home team, and all of that. So, yeah.
I miss Italy not being in it.
Yeah, but you know,
the Italians not being in it. So.
Their fault, isn't it?
So I think.
I tell you what, Mexico again. Teams that you wouldn't want to play Mexico in Mexico.
Exactly. I was just going to say that, and I haven't seen too much of them because the kickoff times were ridiculous apart from the first game. But Mexico at home is a tough fixture. Yeah.
If
you're England, are you looking at all those teams? Would we beat Holland? Would we beat Germany? I don't know. Would we beat Sweden? Probably should, but Norway, I don't know. But the France and Spain and who else would we put
Argentina.
In that category?
Argentina. You've got a three at the...
Beat by anyone, it's going to be a surprise.
Yeah.
In my opinion. If they get beat by anyone, unless it's one of those, you know, France play Spain in the semi-final, I think is a possibility. They could go either way. Probably be France as slight favourites. At this moment in time, in a week or two, it might be different. But if Spain were to get knocked out by England, it'd be a surprise. If France were to get beat by Germany, it'd be a surprise. So there's the top bracket, and then there's probably about eight teams after that that, as you said, given the luck of the draw, a fair wind in terms of fortune on the pitch, avoiding injuries, you know, we're not even talking about what happens if this player gets injured for that team and that player gets injured for that team.
But that pushes me towards France anyway. If that happens, to be fair, because you think if Norway lose Haaland, you think, oh, they're in big trouble. If France lose Mbappe, it's obviously a blow, but, you know, they'll stick Dembele, the Ballon d'Or winner, through the middle.
Yeah.
You know, so, that sort of pushes me there. But, we're now moving into a knockout phase. Stuff can go wrong. Best team doesn't necessarily win the World Cup. But anyway,
exactly.
It's fun. We need to round up a bit of sort of the La Liga stuff, Terry. So Nico Paz, who's not coming to La Liga, a Como player, has now been signed by Como for €60 million, which is complicated old transfer, isn't it? So Real Madrid don't get a player they didn't have last season, but they do get €60 million.
Yeah, which is, it's good business. I mean, it's kind of like a loan, isn't it, with an obligation and a buyback and... But it is basically a loan to increase the value on a young player that needs to be playing.
It's good. It's a good bit of it works, doesn't it? Rather than have him, because you compare him, he plays similar position, doesn't he, to Mastantuono? So they would have been in each other's way.
And neither are first choice players.
Yeah,
so Mastantuono hasn't had playing time.
Yeah,
Nico Paz wouldn't have had playing time.
Yeah. So he's had a good season playing. I mean, I haven't seen him play, if I'm honest, for Como. But by all accounts, he's had a really good season. And then, so Real, there was a they had a couple of options on him. And basically the 60 million just buys them out of everything, 60 million. And they do have a buyback at now at 80 million. So that's the only thing they've now got. But other than that, so it's spare money. He wanted to stay at Como. Seems obvious.
So they've got a buyback at 80.
Yeah.
What if he really does rip it up and he's worth 120?
Yeah.
Are they going to then exercise the buyback at 80, but then sell him to Como again for 120?
Feasibly. I mean, eventually, Como have got to run out of money eventually, haven't they? I guess it puts a cap on what Como, because now if he turns out to be the world's best player, it puts a cap at 80 million on what Como can sell him for, essentially, doesn't it?
Yeah, which isn't fair, is it?
But also, they get a really good player out of it, although they've taken a lot of risk on now. But like I said, yeah. So and they're linked with Bouadi. He's Lille and Morocco. Have you sat down?
Yeah, without knowing too much about him.
Yeah,
and he's only recently started playing for Morocco as well, isn't he? He was a late contender because of nationality issues, choice of playing for different countries, and literally weeks before the tournament started. So that was the story going into the first game, and I thought, well, this would be interesting. They've obviously done well in qualification, done well in the African Nations Cup without him, and he's gone straight into the team. And you can see why. Mm-hmm. He's really, really talented, really good. Hard-working as well, but good on the ball. Yeah, I totally understand why clubs are doing their utmost to try and sign him.
And Barca apparently trying to sell Ansu Fati. I've always lost track of who owns Ansu Fati, whether he's at Barcelona or not.
I think he's done okay at Monaco. And when I do see that they're interested in buying him, I do wonder if his figures justify what it's going to cost them.
Yeah.
So it probably isn't going to cost them as much as we expect. It's probably going to cost Barcelona more to move him on, probably.
Yeah. And free up the money because the deadline, you report your finances in like 3 days, don't you? So then I guess after that, the clubs will know more about what they can sign. Julian Alvarez, I sort of fleetingly ask you about this all the time because it sort of doesn't quite move anywhere, does it?
No, he's been bold, isn't he? Coming out weirdly in the interview after the last game.
Yeah.
Coming out. Telling them he's told the club, I've told the club I want to leave and I want to go to Barcelona.
Yeah.
So that nonsense with Real Madrid was, what was that about?
Yeah, that was Real Madrid trolling, wasn't it?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
But also, even, if you're Atleti, I'm with Atleti on this. Trying to sell him to a Premier League club and you think, it's not a neutral thing. It's not just, we'll get the money and he goes. It's not neutral selling a player to Barcelona. Your direct rivals.
Of course it's not. Exactly. But it's a problem for the club. But because what happens if they do say no?
Yeah.
What happens? I guess they're hoping that someone else comes in.
Well, they're hoping that they'll sell him to Arsenal or someone, aren't they?
Yeah.
And that they'll pay the same that Barca would pay. And they get the same money and they don't have to worry about him, except if they get him in the Champions League.
And the problem then is if he doesn't want to go, he wants to go to Barcelona.
But I guess they're probably saying, oh, come on, it's one thing to keep you here against your will. It's another thing to say, like, we've lined up a transfer to whoever, Arsenal or Liverpool or Bayern Munich. That's not, you know what I mean? That's not a life of hardship. It's suffering.
No, of course not. So. Oh, no, I totally get it. But that's the problem that's going to happen, isn't it, if he set his heart on Barcelona.
And
he may not see. He may not be interested in Arsenal. When he's leaving Atletico Madrid, it's a wonderful club. Yeah, they should be winning more stuff. So it's not like he's playing for Alaves, and he's turning down Arsenal and Bayern Munich, and that. He's set his mind on Barcelona. So it's crippling for Atletico Madrid. I mean, it's crushing in terms of the lost Griezmann now. Sorloth, I'm not sure will stay. Maybe they'll have a rethink if Alvarez goes.
Yeah, he should keep his powder dry, Sorloth, shouldn't he?
Yeah. So it's something that's going to have to be resolved.
Yeah.
And it's not the answer isn't throwing more money at Julian Alvarez, saying to him, right, it's a new contract. It's not about money, this one. It's just for some reason there's obvious reasons why he wants to go and play for Barcelona.
Yeah.
But it's they're not They are bigger than Atletico Madrid, they're more successful than Atletico Madrid. But it's not like he's leaving, as I said, out of it and going to Barcelona. It's Atleti is still a wonderful football club.
Yeah. Have Racing Santander signed anyone interesting, Terry?
Yes. I'm really pleased. I saw him. Do you know, when it happened, when they got promotion, I thought, I know Canales is playing in Mexico for Monterrey. I wonder if he, and lo and behold, his contract was terminated, mutually agreed, and he's back at Racing Santander. He's the poster boy for all those hard-working players, younger players that worked hard to get into La Liga. In swoop, Sergio Canales, and does the photo shoot with the new kit on and everything. He's grabbed all the glory. But no, I really enjoyed watching him a bit, and particularly at Betis at the later stage of his career. I think he's 36 now, so we've seen players go on. It'd be interesting to see what impact he has. Nikola Zigic should be back, and Manitis up front. It's I'm pleased with that signing.
Yes.
The nostalgia in me is coming back.
Yeah.
So Jose, it makes Jose's job easier as well, doesn't it? Wrestling, yeah, I remember them. Oh, is he still playing? Canales, is he still there? I thought I ditched him at Real Madrid.
We'll sign him and not put him in the team. So what we'll do.
That's a fun signing, that one.
Yeah. Right, we will leave it there. Terry, you can go about your day now. Is it breakfast time? Yeah. Have you had your breakfast?
It is, it's 9:09, been up 4 hours.
Right, yeah. Yeah. So when you were telling me, because I messaged you thinking, oh, he might be still in bed. And then I was saying there were South American players who go away and play a game and then come back over. No wonder they look a bit heavy legged when they get back. Yeah.
This morning was easy, but I think about 5:45 stirred and up. I don't know how they do that.
Yeah.
I don't know what they do in terms of. I remember being coach in Northern Ireland, and we had a game in Azerbaijan, and we were there. We went as short a time as possible and stayed on our time.
Yeah,
because there was quite a time difference. Otherwise, it meant
everything it
was
going to
be disruptive for like a 48-hour stay. And
yeah, it depends on whether you can sleep. I went to Azerbaijan and I was there with another commentator, and I got up about 7 hours before he did, because I woke up I woke up at like early Azerbaijan time because it was light and noisy.
Yeah,
and he sort of slept through the whole thing, and then he slept later as well. And he got up and he was like, "Oh," and he was like bleary eyed coming down. I'd been out to the ground, drop stuff off, come back, and he's I'm going for my breakfast. Breakfast? What are you talking about?
4 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah. But we could control that because we had the hotel. We could have breakfast, lunch, dinner, on UK time as opposed to Azerbaijan time.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the players do when they go on these.
There are challenges in this world, aren't there? So if you're going, particularly if you're going to play in Mexico City, 7,000 meters above sea level, or wherever it is, that's a hell of a challenge.
There'd be a time difference from a different zone as well.
Yeah,
I mean, we're 3 hours further behind on the west coast, aren't we, of America, of the east coast.
Yeah,
that's an issue. England haven't been in that, have they? They've been in the mid. Where were they? Where have England's games been? Boston. Next one is in New York, Dallas. So I guess there's been a little time shift, not much, an hour as it's going across to the East Coast. Yeah, there is. It's, but I when I see the players, we have these brief 15-minute training clips. There's 2,000 people there, support staff. It amazes me how they've shipped in all this training equipment as well, and they ship all that about. The logistics of these. The people behind the scenes they're enormous now. Yeah. I mean, I've seen pictures of the England 1966 World Cup team getting on the bus, getting on the plane to go to Mexico, and they've got their little England bag, and they've got their suits on, and it appears to be that's the only luggage they've got.
Yeah. So did Harold Shepherdson take his own bucket with him when he went to Mexico in 1970, or did he buy one out there?
Exactly. And there you see Tuchel doing the 15-minute training. It's like, 50 support staff that have got tracksuits on. Then there's other people shifting inflatable footballers that you can bend the free kick round, and there's hurdles and there's stretch bands and everything else, and 1,000 footballs wherever they go. The logistics are incredible. And then you're shifting that from the UK to the United States, different cities, maybe to Mexico, different country. I don't know how they do it.
Right. So are you going to find an English bar and watch the England-Panama game?
No, I'm going to sit in my apartment and watch that. I'm actually looking forward to watching a USA game in a bar.
Yeah.
And get the feeling of the Stars and Stripes and Star Spangled Banner with the locals. I'm looking forward to doing that. Yes. They play Bosnia, don't they, in the next round?
Yeah. Yes. Right. So well, we look forward to you reporting back on that, Terry. So enjoy your World Cup Centre. Yeah. Definitely. Is there working? HMRC. So. And we'll check in with you again at some point. Thank you, everybody. And Terry, enjoy the next phase of the World Cup, and we'll speak again soon. See you, everyone.
Love
bye-bye.
Cheers, John.
To have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No